I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. When I interact with any technology, a computer or a smartphone, I try to invoke a little mindfulness. I try to work with the gadget, not against it. That's my decision. Let's flip that now and examine how our gadgets make decisions. Now, we're talking artificial intelligence. Think smart assistants like Alexa or Siri, or driverless cars. As these technologies get more sophisticated, we'll be relying on them more and more to make decisions on their own. But how can we make sure that when that time comes, they make the right decision, the ethically responsible decision? Yes, it is a complicated question, and there's not one single right answer. After all, how do we define what's right, ethical, or moral? Are we talking philosophy? And if so, is it Western philosophy? Well, that is one thing that people who work in the budding field of artificial intelligence ethics seem to agree on.
I think there is a domination of Western philosophy, so to speak, in AI ethics.
That's Pak Hung Wong. He's with the University of Hamburg in Germany, where he studies philosophy of technology and ethics.
By that, I mean, when we look at AI ethics, most likely they are appealing to values in the Western philosophical traditions, such as value of freedom, autonomy, and so on.
Pak Hung Wong is part of a group of researchers who want to go beyond those Western philosophical traditions. The World's Lydia Emanuelidou has been speaking with several people involved with this effort and is in the studio with me now. So tell us more about this project that Pak Hung Wong is involved with, Lydia.
Yeah, so this is an effort that's being led by the engineering association, IEEE. What they did is they brought together a group of researchers to have them come up with more globally minded ethical standards. So looking beyond this Western scope that Pak Hung Wong mentioned. Now, before I go any further, I do want to say that, you know, when we say quote-unquote Western traditions, we're talking about thousands and thousands of years of philosophical thought, right? There are various streams of it. These researchers recognize that, and they're not saying that considering these Western foundations is inherently bad. What they are saying is that not considering other ethics traditions, like Eastern ones, for example, that could be very problematic.
So give us an example of how we might approach an AI dilemma differently. Like, do you have an example where we can compare the framework of Western ethics to Eastern ethics?
Yeah, so I'll give you an example that Pak Hung Wong gave me. Imagine a scenario where we're at a point where we have technologies that can just take a quick look at us and diagnose all our medical problems. If we use Western ethics as a guide, the stress in designing that technology would be, how do we make sure that if this system picks up that you have, say, a terminal illness, that that data is not shared with anyone except you, that data is protected? But Pak Hung Wong told me that that wouldn't be the case if we used Eastern ethics as our guide here.
The stress would not so much be on patients as an individuals, but to take the entirely family unit as a whole. It would disclose the information to the entire family.
So, Lydia, painting with a broad brush here, but for the sake of not getting too deep into the weeds, is this focus on the individual versus the community one of the big differences between East and West?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's one more thing we can take away from this example that Pak Hung Wong gave me. He said that in Western ethics, we tend to focus a lot on the restrictions that we might set in place to prevent bad things from happening when it comes to these technologies. But if we look to Eastern ethics, the focus would be embedding values from the different traditions that, you know, Eastern ethics are rooted in.
So it's rather different from the Western traditions in the sense that it is not about setting up a particular principles of restrictions, but rather you should try to build certain things to guide the technology along the way.
So whereas in Western thinking, we might add kind of layers of rules to make sure certain principles are upheld in this technological space, the thinking here is to identify the values that might guide the technology, right?
That's right.
So give us an example of these values that Eastern ethics emphasize that these researchers want to see more prominently in this discussion on AI.
Yeah, so I also spoke with someone who is, you know, an expert in Buddhism. His name is Suraj Hungladaram, and he teaches philosophy at Chulalongkorn University in Bangkok, Thailand.
We would like to see AI to become more compassionate or altruistic. These are the two Buddhist concepts. It could be, you know, totally altruistic and willing to sacrifice itself.
totally altruistic and willing to sacrifice itself. So maybe like a driverless car that if it crashes is willing to destroy itself instead of the passenger inside or the pedestrian. I know that's kind of out there as an example, but is
that is a good example. And, you know, I don't think you'd find any strands of moral philosophy that would guide the technology to do the opposite. But what Suraj Hoglaram told me is that the framing is really important here.
In putting in the Buddhist perspective, the idea is that more people around the world, especially those who are Buddhists, would be more accepting toward these guidelines for the AI system.
And Marco, if you can bear with me for just another minute, I want to give you just one more example of an African tradition that came up in this discussion.
What's the African tradition?
Yeah, so let's go to Rachel Fisher. She's with the African Center of Excellence for Information Ethics in South Africa. And she told me about the sub-Saharan philosophical tradition of Ubuntu.
Ubuntu means a person is a person through other people. Ubuntu is actually saying that we do not work as islands. We have to work together in a community because in the end, sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. I mean, that sounds nice, Lydia, but how does this actually apply to this discussion of AI?
Right. So, you know, Marco, the field of AI, it's a really fast-moving one. It's a lucrative one. And what Rachel Fisher told me is that if we use Ubuntu as a guiding principle here, we can make sure that the focus stays not on the individuals developing these technologies, not on the companies, you know, making the latest developments, but on the communities this technology might end up in.
Yeah, so what is next for these researchers, Lydia? Are they hoping to kind of set a global set of standards for AI? Is that even possible?
They did put this, you know, is this possible question to Jared Bielby, who heads this group of researchers.
We're not providing black and white answers. We're providing standards as a starting place. And then from there, it may be a matter of each tradition, each culture, different governments establishing their own creation based on the standards that we are providing.
And, you know, another big question, Marco, that we didn't get into is how do we make sure that as we do all this work, we don't unwittingly implant our own biases as humans into this technology? Because that, too, could be really dangerous. And that's another big question that researchers are grappling with.
Really fascinating stuff. The World's Lydia Emanalidou, thanks very much for sharing what you found.
Thank you, Marco.